The Pitch Show, day two, number three.
Founders are always in pitch mode, pitching investors, customers, even randos in the elevator. They're trying to get someone, anyone really, to trust their vision. But in the pitch room, trust goes both ways. And sometimes the investor is the one who needs to pitch the founder. Today on the show, things start out pretty normal, with founder Jenna Sereni pitching her app where you shop with your friends, until the investors flip the script and start to pitch her. I'm Josh Muccio. Welcome to The Pitch, where real entrepreneurs pitch to real investors for real money. And sometimes the investors pitch back.
I'm Neil Salas Griffin, Managing Director here at Techstar Chicago, and I'm happy to welcome y'all to my city.
I'm Elizabeth Yin, and I'm a General Partner at Hustle Fund.
I'm Charles Hudson, Managing Partner, Precursor Ventures.
I'm Phil Nadell. I'm the Managing Director of Forefront Venture Partners.
I'm Jillian Manes, Managing Partner of Structure Capital.
The pitch for Hands Down is coming up after this. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. The information provided on this show is not intended to be investment advice and should not be relied upon as such. The investors on today's episode are providing their opinions based on their own assessment of the business presented. Those opinions should not be considered professional investment advice.
Hi there.
Hey, Charles.
Charles, Jenna.
Nice to meet you, Jenna.
Elizabeth. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Jenna. I'm Phil.
Phil, my favorite radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
Jillian, hi. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Jenna, I'm Neil.
Hi, Jenna. Neil, I'm again. Phil.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for having me. I'm Jenna Sereni. I am the founder and CEO of Hands Down, the first shopping platform built for communities and friends. So how many of you are in a group text with your friends or family? Yep, everybody. Okay, I'm on a group chat with my college friends. Well, a couple years ago, we came together and decided to share our favorite things with each other that year. We made a spreadsheet, we each got a tab, and we tasked each other with just sharing our 10 favorite things of the year. So we didn't really think much of the activity. We went about our days, but we quickly became obsessed with it. And we bought everything. My background is that I help pioneer influencer marketing, and my best friend has been in product at Etsy for over 12 years, and she and I looked at each other and said, oh my gosh, we all just bought everything. As we had all of these people in the spreadsheet for a two-year period, we started tracking conversions, and we found that our 24 friends over 2.5 years spent almost $34,000, which was about an annual average of $850 to $1,000 per person. Well, a light bulb went off. So Hands Down is a mobile app where you can share your absolute favorite things and favorite things by category. So your skincare routine, your favorite scary movies, the best finds at Trader Joe's, the best vegan snacks. And we're also building tools for curators and creators and brands so that you can share with communities that you relate to. We find that this is a $100 billion market opportunity across social commerce and retail media. Now, 92% of consumers trust friends and family over all other sources of advertising or marketing. Word of mouth is by far the most powerful tool in building loyal relationships between consumers and brands, and we're productizing that. Now, Hands Down, we are about to raise our seed round of $4 million to help us to scale our technology and our user growth and help consumers to connect, discover, shop, and earn together.
So how much have you raised on the $4 million?
So we have about $1 million soft circled in the $4 million round. We are still talking to leads.
How many users do you have?
Right now, we have about 4,500 users. And I do have a demo for you as well, if you'd like.
Yeah, love to see the demo.
Great.
We've got a QR code.
Jenna walks the investors through the Hands Down app. where you can see top 10 lists from your friends, favorite influencers, or communities like the Brooklyn Moms or crazy Eagles fans. It's kind of like if Pinterest and Wirecutter had a baby. Here's Phil.
What is the revenue model?
Yeah. So allowing for brands to create a brand account and attach their backend experience so that consumers can actually shop their brand in a universal shopping cart without ever leaving the Hands Down app. We earn anywhere from a 12 to 40% commission on those purchases. Where that gets really interesting is when you're in a micro community like the Brooklyn Moms who, you know, love Bombas socks and it's back to school, Bombas can serve them a special offer in which we would earn a rev share on that.
So, Jenna, I think just to be very direct, there have been a number of folks who have tried this type of approach. I'm curious if you have any insights or learnings from either past failings or from talking with other entrepreneurs or what you think is different here than what others have done.
One thing is the biggest challenge for us. It's the indexing of all of this data. It's how do we really present this data in an organized way within search and in a way that makes it truly valuable for people. And that's something that I think some other platforms have struggled with. The other thing is an acquisition. So essentially, if we just go out there with a media model, right, and we're trying to acquire users on meta platforms and such, we're going to be competing with the brands that we want to be partnering with. So instead, we're going for a community-based acquisition model. We're actually going to be leveraging creators to bring audiences in and experts. We call them really curators. We incentivize them to bring their people in. So they earn when they bring in an acquisition and they earn when that person engages as well.
And why do it on Hands Down as opposed to Linktree or some other link in bio? If you already have an audience, like why do it on Hands Down as opposed to on?
So they have so many platforms to engage with. One of the things that the curators have shared with us is that A, the platforms don't always allow for them to use their affiliate links. We want them to still be able to earn when people shop their recommendations. The other thing is we just want to provide the technology that makes it so easy to host a top 10 list. Right now, they have to post on Instagram stories, they have to create videos, they have to take photos, they have to, you know, code a blog, they have to have a TikTok video edited. It's a lot of work. We want to create a really low-lift way for them to share top 10 lists that they can earn commissions off of.
Yeah, I just bring up the link in bio, because the link, especially for people who have decent audience, a lot of them, even within verticals, there's a link in bio just designed for beauty. There's one, and there is like a, there's certainly like a lot of energy around this, particularly for the people who have audience already.
Yeah, definitely. We see this as like the perfect addition to a Linktree. Mm-hmm. It's not for every single creator out there. We're not trying to provide a tool for Mr. Beast. Yeah. We're not. And I actually was a part of creating the model that influencer marketing is today. So I always like to say first, I'm sorry. Second of all, we learned a lot. We're going to burn it to the ground and start fresh.
So who are we up against? Who's doing this right now that you're learning from?
So our biggest competition is LTK. LTK stands for Like to Know. They merged with RewardStyle. They recently got a $2 billion valuation. And what they do is they allow for influencers to make their content shoppable. Now, they're known for having really strict terms and as far as who can be an LTK influencer, you kind of have to be the perfect woman. And we want to really create something for the people, something that shows that everyone matters. You don't have to be perfect and beautiful in a photo and make your life look absolutely perfect in order for your recommendations to matter. We see Wirecutter as being really amazing. And then, of course, Pinterest, who has been trying for years to make their content shoppable. And, you know, I think what we want to create is something that's complementary to Pinterest.
On a related note, I'm curious, like the original sort of group chat thing you explained to me, I was like, oh, that feels like a product space where there isn't a good solution today. And this one feels like it's just a much more crowded environment. I'm curious, like is the hypothesis that by being, just having used the app, by being on the app, I'm going to get inspired by things that other people who are not in my friend circle have discovered or put on the app, and that this browse and discover is going to expand it? Because the first product you mentioned to me felt much more contained.
Yeah. I have to say, Charles, I had the exact same feeling. Yeah. When she first described the experience of interacting with her friends and sharing their favorite things, that really sounded interesting to me and something like I might even do. And then when you talked about the model as you envision it, I thought, well, there's a lot of competition in that space.
Yeah, so you'll still be able to do all of that. They could be micro or they could be macro communities. So macro being like the Brooklyn Moms, which has 45,000 Facebook followers, and all the recommendations kind of get lost in the ether. But then there's the group chat. That's a micro community that you could actually host privately. And so that's something that we're creating, is somewhere that you can actually create a circle with your friends, this community, where you could share favorite things privately, just as your small circle of people.
I feel like, and being very direct here, I think it's hard to actually be both of those. Mm-hmm. I think you are either one or the other. So if you're in the small group, it's all about small groups. And then you have to somehow figure out how to take somebody in a small group and have them invite other people into a whole new group. Or you're more in the Pinterest category of, you know, let's get everybody and their mother to see my boards. And mm-hmm. now I'm trying to show everybody my taste. But I feel like trying to message both is going to be very challenging. Mm-hmm. And actually, that I think that product in this space matters so much, and all these little nuances matter so much. And I'm not sure I quite see you in one category or the other. So for that reason, I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm curious to know, is there some form of a long-form assessment like the Wirecutter? There's a lot of trust there. So yeah. If I need to buy something, I go there and that's my friend, mm-hmm. right? The Wirecutter is my even better than my friends when it comes to choosing certain things.
Some of the things that we've considered are, you know, giving creators more of a space to kind of create their environment within the application, you know, almost create their page that houses their whole pop-up shop of recommendations, right? That can kind of help to solve for that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Somewhat. I mean, one example would be short-form video content as a form of reviewing the products, right? And getting more people to engage there.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big part of our plan with this native app. We've kind of, you know, we wanted to start slow. We've been sort of bootstrapping. You know, we have a really impressive team considering what we've raised and what we've done in a short period of time. But especially myself, as my expertise is in commerce-driving content. So that is like, you know, exactly where I want to go. I just want to do it really smartly. I don't want to throw out all of the product experiences that the other platforms have kind of for the sake of competing with each other and really think about what the right content opportunity is for this specific experience.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think like Elizabeth, I think I'm out too. But for maybe like a slightly related but different reason. I think this sort of shop with your friends social, this is in that category of things that should work. It should be something that works. And it sort of hasn't yet. And I think there's some behavioral insight that's missing around like why none of the products that have been built connect the dots mm-hmm. on that behavior. And it's sort of in that like people should do this. And I think should is like a very dangerous word when you're when you're building a product. And I keep coming back to the fact that the product I'm like really excited about was the first one you described. Mm-hmm. And if the company was like laser focused on that, mm-hmm. I would be able to go way down the rabbit hole with you. And that's an experiment I think that hasn't been run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where we don't have as much data. But a good way to lose money as an investor is to fall in love with something that the founder is not as focused on as you are. So for me personally, I'm out. But if at any point you decide to go deeper on this sort of small group social sharing, I just think about how many links and pointers and products mm-hmm. get shared in my group chat. I would love to have that conversation in the future, but only if that's something you decide you want to make the focus of the company.
It's great feedback. Thank you. We found that Google Sheets fulfilled that for us.
That might be the answer.
And, but thank you. That's very, very valuable.
For very similar reasons, this isn't a fit for me either. I was excited by the genesis of the company. And I started envisioning how you might productize that. But then you veered in a different direction and one that I see as crowded and I don't see enough likelihood of success. And I want to see where that lands as a product before, you know, taking a hard look at it.
Thank you.
So over at Techstars, we help teams and founders like yourself get to the bottom of these types of things. So the feedback I'm hearing in the room, that's exactly kind of where we're at. And that's our sweet spot of what we help founders like figure out. That being said, it sounds like given, you know, your round dynamics and where you're at, you might have considered accelerators, but are beyond that at this point. I don't want to make that assumption. But if you were interested in that, we should talk. But definitely interested. And I think I could probably get you into some of these programs if that's something you would be open to.
Thank you.
I think that a program like this would be invaluable because I do think you're struggling. Your background is very impressive. Your delivery is very impressive. So clearly, if we invest in people, you're a person that we would invest in. I think the business model is still going through a pinball machine. So I am out. But I do think you should find an accelerator.
Yeah.
We've considered a number of accelerators. Yeah. But, you know, I went back and forth and hesitated to pull the trigger. And this is really helpful to me because it's something I've considered for 6 months. And, you know, for reasons which I can or don't need to share, you know, we didn't.
Would you be open to talking more about the Techstars opportunity? Is that something you're interested in?
Sure. I would love to.
Because Neil's right here.
Yeah.
We've got a little time.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Pitch
so they'll
me,
connect.
Neil.
No, <I'm kidding.
laughs> Turn the tables on them.
Yeah.
All the investors have passed on Hands Down. But there's a new offer on the table. Now it's Neil's turn to pitch Jenna on why she should join Techstars. When we come back, my, how the turns have tabled. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on the show, and one thread that connects them all, they're not just pitching their business, they're pitching themselves. Because small business owners know that their business is more than just a company. It's their whole life. And State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, and they know what it takes. They can help you choose personalized policies that fit your budget. That's the personal touch. That's small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back to The Accelerator, where real managing directors pitch real entrepreneurs to join their program. Today's managing director wants 6% of their company for, wait for it, $20,000, which, if you do the math, would value Jenna's company at a whopping $333,000. Here's Neil.
So you said you considered a retail one before.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
It was called XRC Labs.
Oh, yeah.
Lupano, yeah.
It's actually a very good one.
Yeah, well, no, and you said for reasons that you weren't in a position to disclose, you decided not to. Is that on the business side?
Would you like for me to disclose them?
No, well, only to the extent that you're comfortable.
So here's the thing. The numbers don't lie that women don't get funded as often as men do, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, PitchBook just released the data yesterday from this past year, and it's horrific.
Yeah, worse.
So it's worse. Yeah.
It's very, very, very bad.
Yes.
I just felt like I needed to preserve every bit of ownership that I had, knowing that I'm not going to have all the options that everyone gets.
Right.
And so, you know, going into a program that takes 6% for a very small investment compared to, you know, what that percentage is, it's just challenging.
Yeah.
But that said, we do know that it would be a good option for us and that we would extract, you know, hopefully value from it. It's just that percentage is, it's a tough pill to swallow when we've been working for almost, you know, 2 years and we have all of this, these great supporters within our community. So, you know, so it's just a challenging decision to make.
Yeah. Well, let's unpack a piece of what I think I heard you say here. So the 6%, you're spot on there. Few caveats. One, it's common stock. And two, that 20K is not representative of the actual value you're getting from the experience,
of course,
right?
Of course.
So remove the 20K. It's not a valuation event. Any good VC knows that that's not representative of the value. And the value add in the network has like exponentially increased.
Oh, yeah.
So back in the day, it was like 100 companies. We got over 3,000.
Yeah.
So from a network standpoint, the value add from our founders has very little to do with Demo Day.
Right.
Let me just be clear. The network you get access to, the support, the training you get as a founder to like really develop the systems to scale up your business effectively, that's all the value add.
I'll throw in some 2 cents on accelerators. I previously ran the 500 Startups Accelerator for almost 3 years. I now run a VC fund, so I have no horse in this race.
Yeah.
But I can tell you from that experience a few thoughts. So one, Not every accelerator is the same. One thing that I noticed at 500 is that the cohorts actually get to bond pretty strongly. It is actually amazing how much progress people make through an accelerator program, but then once they leave, that progress slows.
Yep.
And there's a lot of data on this, actually. Like, actually, founders should be in an accelerator program all the time. But but the interesting thing is, in general, investors prefer companies that can make a lot of money right at the gates, and that tends to favor more B2B. So I think for you, the bar is going to be higher, which means that you're going to have to get your user number up. The expectation when you go out and raise that seed is in the hundreds of thousands of users at a minimum. And so you're talking about increasing basically 100x from where you are now. So then working backwards, can an accelerated program kind of help you get there? I would not get so fixated then on the equity part and focus more on, can I achieve the goals I need to achieve with the accelerator? Because I think, in all honesty, right now, if you spend the next 4 months on your current trajectory, I don't know if you'll hit the numbers you need to hit to really have a strong, successful raise. So that's my direct 2 cents on this.
Thank you.
I'll say one final thing, because this is something that I don't hear enough out there, and it's some people think it's controversial, but have you heard of the equity buyback guarantee from Techstars?
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is an interesting thing. I don't know of any other accelerator that offers this.
I think you're the only one.
If we don't do our job after those 13 weeks, you can buy back your equity. So, like, that's the ultimate fail-safe. So I have had precisely zero EBGs throughout my time as managing director. Zero. So there's no founder that leaves our program and goes, that wasn't worth it. But even if they felt that way, they could get their equity back and move on.
I like it.
Okay.
Well, thanks. I guess we're going to apply to some...
we'll talk.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so
Pleasure
much.
Pleasure meeting you, Jenny.
Thank you all so Thank much. You so I much. Hope you have a Thank great you. Rest of your event.
Absolutely.
Thank Thanks. You.
I'm so glad she prompted that question.
Josh
because
did.
I really
Josh,
yeah.
I'm so glad Josh
well,
mentioned it.
Well, it is on the top of everybody's mind.
It is.
But nobody brings it up.
I right? know.
Yeah.
That was,
and
that was good
I think there are a lot of people listening who are grappling with that. The main concern that founders have is, for us, is it's not just equity, it's a time.
Yeah.
And so I think that, and Elizabeth, I mean, is really one of the pioneers in this area.
No, it is actually being really an accelerator are. Manager is one of the hardest sales jobs because everyone is like, oh, I'm giving up all this equity. Why? Like,
right.
And that's like, that's, you have to sell that.
Yeah. Yeah. You have
well,
to
you
get them
over.
Well,
you gave her a nice tutorial on that. So that was good.
Well,
Josh,
the only thing I've noticed is just, there's a lot of questionable accelerators out there.
Oh, there are.
By questionable, you mean bad.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And
unethical.
Say bad.
Say bad.
Exactly.
Questionable is too kind.
Well, when does Charles Hudson come out with stuff like that? You rarely hear him say anything
Charles
bad
is,
about
Charles
anybody.
Has been low key.
No, I just have seen like a lot of accelerators that don't. They prey on founders who don't know better. They hear accelerator and they think it's going to be of the quality of what Neil and others do. And like it's better to just call them bad than questionable.
Well, you know,
there's even one program out there that charged. I don't even know what it's called. There's a program that charged founders to go through it.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Like once somebody invited me to be a keynote for an accelerator conference. I was like, what kind of conference is this? And they said, well, it's for accelerator managers. And I was like, 3,000 Canadian accelerator managers.
Get out.
I was like, are
Wait,
you serious?
Are
like,
guys?
I didn't That's know there
incredible.
Were so many accelerator managers in Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Well, the pitch is an accelerator now, too, so.
There you go.
When we come back, we find out if Jenna accepts Neil's offer to accelerate. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. Small business owners know that it's not just business, it's personal. Your business is your life, and State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know what it takes. They can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. And they live and work in your community, so you're not just getting an insurance plan, you're getting that personal touch. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Welcome back.
After her pitch, Jenna spoke with a couple close friends who'd gone through Techstars, and both of them were like, Jenna, you should definitely do it, but find a managing director that you trust. So Jenna hopped on the Techstars website, researched all their accelerators, and added three to the cart. Techstars Boston, Atlanta, and New York. But when she called up Neil, he had somewhere else in mind.
Oh, you didn't mention Boulder, but someone reached out to me about you yesterday.
Oh, really?
About the Boulder program. So I don't know if you considered that. So you're starting to bubble up a little bit in our circles, just so you know.
I would be really interested in Boulder and Atlanta. As a follow-up to this, I would really love to meet with them.
Neil made some intros, and then Jenna jumped on a call with the managing director of Techstars Boulder, El Bruno. The question was, is this the accelerator Jenna was willing to give up 6% of her company for?
I met with her, we clicked, totally hit it off, and from the first 20 minutes together, we're dying to work together. Her experience is exactly applicable to what we're building, and she is super passionate about elevating and supporting female founders. We got really open. I told her things that I've never told any other investors about myself, about our business. And we just had an amazing working session that ended in her officially offering us Techstars Boulder.
Congratulations!
Yeah. And we're so excited that we accepted it on the spot.
Yes. That's awesome!
I called my dad last night. I texted him. I was like, I have really good news. I'm going to call you and, you know, tell you what's going on. And so I called him and I told him, and he was like, oh, I thought you were pregnant. He was like, but that Techstars is cool too.
Oh my gosh.
One and done, Dad. One and done.
After that conversation with Elle, I wanted to hear why Jenna didn't seem concerned about giving up too much equity anymore.
It was not even a question to me. The 6%, you know, is what you could potentially allocate to a really meaningful advisor or board member or someone who takes part in your company in a really large way. And when I met Elle, I wanted her to be a part of our story. I wanted her to feel invested in what we're building and to be a part of it. And the 6% didn't even cross my mind again.
Techstars Boulder started in January, and here we are in April. So we called Jenna up to find out how the program went. First of all, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very, very good. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. I brought my whole family out here, and everything is just going great.
I love to hear it. So what happened at Techstars?
We got to Techstars, and week two is called Mentor Madness. And at Mentor Madness, you meet with 60 mentors in 5 days.
Oh, wow.
It was so intense. I mean, I talk about Mentor Madness and I start sweating. So for hands down, our biggest problem is that everyone we speak to thinks our app is for them. Oh, I'm a golfer and we're always sharing different types of clubs. Like, this is perfect for the golf community. Or I'm an artist and we all like different types of artists this is perfect for us. Or I'm a mom or everyone. And that was our big red flag, right? If you're everything to everyone, then you're no one to anyone. And the mentors really reflected that back to us. So in our 60 meetings, I'd say 55 of them all said the exact same thing, which was you need to verticalize. You need to focus on a specific type of customer and verticalize towards that customer, listen to them, solve their problems.
Like choose a market, choose a certain type of person.
Choose a market.
Okay, so by the end of it, who did you pick?
In order to determine how to verticalize, we identified 20 or 30 cohorts. So we had artists, golfers, outdoor enthusiasts, pregnant women, moms of kids who go to Montessori schools, and we scored them in different categories. Do they value trust? Do they value efficiency? Are they obsessed with their product categories? How many purchases do they make a month? And we went through a scoring exercise. The top three highest performing cohorts were pregnant women, moms of babies up to 1 year old, and parents of children in Montessori schools.
and the other cohorts were like 10 points behind them.
Oh, so, wow.
This was our first clue. The second was pulling data through our app and seeing who the most active cohorts are. And guess who they were?
Moms.
The moms have spoken. We are now here to serve the moms.
Once you landed on moms as the market that you were going to go deep on, were you nervous or hesitant about making the switch?
Yeah, I was.
Tell me about that.
I had advisors, investors ask me about verticalizing before. And it had always been in the context of, why don't you just build this, you know, in skincare? Why don't you just build this in beauty? Why don't you just build this for moms?
Mm-hmm.
Where I got nervous was in completely rebranding, reskinning, refocusing everything to anything as specific as moms, because that was completely reinventing my business. The business that I had this vision for, this, you know, I could see it in the back of my head. And originally I thought, does my vision feel smaller if it's just for moms? And then over the week that we spent deciding, the vision got bigger and bigger, and I could see it more and more clearly every day. And the ideas were flowing, and I got really excited about it. And it was, there was no going back. I mean, we talked to almost 100 moms and in hour-long interviews, and some of the moms were reading our pitch deck verbatim. They were saying actual sentences that were written in our pitch deck.
Any of those calls stick out to you?
There was one mom that we just love. She, by trade, is a private investigator. And when she had her first baby, she approached finding the right baby products with her private investigation skills and literally put on her PI hat and still couldn't find everything that she needed. And so we said, if even a private investigator can't find the right bottle and sleep sack and travel stroller and diaper bag, then nobody can. And so we can help her with, you know, we can help these moms. We can build this for them.
How do you actually make the change? Like, how is the change going?
We made the decision to pivot to moms. And within 2 weeks, we redesigned, built, tested, and launched a new app on TestFlight.
Oh, it's already live?
It was live on TestFlight. Now it's live on the App Store. So hands down is, you know, for these moms who are overwhelmed with the amount of time it takes to find all of the trusted products they need for new motherhood, hands down is the shopping app where they can source, save, share, and shop trusted product recommendations with other moms and their mom friends.
Well, that's really cool. This feels like a really exciting new direction for the company, because I don't know of very many groups more passionate than moms. If you can actually serve them, it could really solve some big problems for them.
You know, it's been a long 2 years, and it just felt like the absolute right thing at the right time with the right person. And so, you know, thank you guys and the show and Neil and the other, you know, investors on the show for encouraging us in this direction. Nothing's ever felt so right for our business.
Jenna's demo day pitch is literally tomorrow. And then on Friday, it'll go live for the world to see. We'll link to it in this week's edition of The Pitch Insider, which, if you aren't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Hands down, best newsletter I've ever read. Lisa is absolutely crushing it. Go to pitch.show/insider and subscribe right now. Next week on The Pitch.
Spanx already existed because there were controlled top pantyhose. Those existed. People are doing it. I promise you, and this is my opinion, I'm going to challenge, no one is making what we're making.
That's not true. I'm going to say that's not true. I'm going to push back on you, and I hate to be like that, but I've seen 100 of these. Everybody has these.
That's next week in the Pitch Room. See you on Wednesday. We're casting founders for the next season of our show to be recorded this June in San Diego, California. Go to pitch.show/apply and simply upload your pitch deck. We're looking for companies raising pre-seed or seed. And if you want more from us, subscribe to Pitch Plus. You'll get ad-free listening to the entire catalog and occasional bonus content. Plus, it's a really good way to support the show. Just go to pitch.show/plus to learn more. The Pitch is me, Josh Muccio, Lisa Muccio, Carrie Ann Thomas, Anna Ladd, and Enoch Kim. Music in today's show is from The Musemaker, Breakmaster Cylinder, The Brow, Memory Palace, and Onders. The Pitch is made in partnership with the Vox Media Podcast Network. The Pitch Inc. and their respective employees and affiliates do not provide investment advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided on this show should not be used as the basis for making investment decisions. Listeners should conduct their own research and consult with their own investment advisors before making any investment decisions. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.